such a joy to be able to meet new people and to experience new faces. Of course, I'm somewhat still a new person here on Sunday mornings. It's good to be with you today. I appreciate all the condolences and sympathies expressed regarding passing my mother this last Wednesday. Funeral services will be Tuesday, visitation at 10:30, and the funeral actually at 11:30. I have a brother coming all the way from Vietnam to attend the funeral, so we had to delay just a little bit, but not looking forward to having to deal with that part of it, but that is a part of life, because we know that this life is an effort to prepare for death. And that's why this morning I want to speak to you about more power, because our God is powerful. John and I were visiting just a little bit about God and His power at work in the beginning, and God truly is a powerful God. And sometimes we think of that in an abstract way. We think about it being out there, but I want to assure you that our God is alive. I'd like for you to take your Bible this morning, if you would, and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. While you're doing that, I want to mention something. As you will probably notice in my lessons, in following the master teacher, Jesus would take something that the people knew and understood because it was a part of their physical everyday life, and then He would use that in order to teach them lessons. He would take like a mustard seed and say, the kingdom of heaven is like. He would take a child and put there and say, let me tell you about this. And so Jesus used things that people could associate with and understand so they could walk away with the memory. And my goal and job as a preacher is to teach you lessons so that you can remember and they become a part of your life. And God's people need to know His Word, don't we? It needs to be alive in our life. And we'll see that here in just a moment. I want you to begin reading with me, if you would, in verse 9. Scripture says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Anybody tired this morning? How about you folks been putting up hay? Are you tired? Jerry said he'd been putting up hay, right, Jerry? Had a little sun. That's hard work. Some of you have worked hard on a job, putting in a lot more hours than you would like to. Some of you are going to start practicing football. Life's going to get you really busy and you're going to be tired. And we look forward as a Christian to the end of this life when we can truly enjoy what Scripture calls rest. And so He says in verse 9, clearly, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Then verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, or that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So He says, here's the rest, but we have something to do. We have to be diligent. And then He says in verse 12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, did you catch that one word that you see on the screen highlighted? I like to highlight verses for you because it points to what I want you to be able to see as we're discussing that particular verse. For the Word of God is living and powerful. That's a powerful word, isn't it? The Word of God is powerful. Anybody recognize this fella? It's hard finding public domain images. But I was able to successfully find some, and I like this one because someone had put these words on there. Did you say more power? More power. How many times did this show exemplify the idea that there was a need for more power? In fact, you might remember when Toolman Taylor souped up the lawnmower to race Bob Vila. At one point, there was even a lawnmower pitcher that had a jet engine. Can you imagine? And Ron, it wouldn't take you long to mow here, would it? With a jet engine. More power. Of course, when I was a kid, this is what more power meant to me. I had a Camaro that some of you might remember, because Kathy and I got married and took off from here in that Camaro with Limburger cheese all over the engine to smell all the way to Texas. Eddie, do you know Limburger cheese stinks in Texas as well as in Missouri? And all the way through Oklahoma. But I was proud of that car. It had a 305 V8 and it had power. And the only thing I wanted was more power. And if I could have built an engine like this and been able to finance it, Bob, I would have done it. More power. And I might even went this far. Can you imagine? More power. But this would have been all right. A couple jet engines on the back of it would have been just fine when I was a kid. Can you imagine what the highway patrol would do with a car like this going down 44? More power. But ladies, I don't want to forget you. Just so you know, they make a gasoline engine powered blender. Did you know that? You can order it. And of course, what have they done to vacuum cleaners? More power, right? I'm afraid the one we got now will suck the carpet right up off the floor. The cat runs from it. Can you imagine why? Because of more power. And then, of course, for kids, more power means something entirely different than it did for us when I was just a young man. When I was a young man, it was the car and the powerful muscle car and the big engine. For kids, more power means I can do more with the computer. More processing power. And, of course, when my grandkids come to our house, it's more power to plug into because they're running all these devices. But I want to assure you, far beyond this physical world, God has granted us more power. As God's people, we stand different than the people in the world because we have been granted more power. In fact, as you look at Hebrews 4:12 and you look at that word power, it comes from a word in the original language which means active, operating, effectual, and powerful. It's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, for a great and effective door. There's the word, effective door, has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So that word in the original language means active, operative, effectual, power. It's effective. And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, He says to us clearly that the Word of God is living and effective. It's there to do its job and to do its job well. And here's where you'll find the idea of the Word, or the discussion of the Word, very relevant to you. Do you know where we get our English word energy? It's from this word in the original. The literal translation for this verse, living indeed the Word of God and energies and sharper. It's energy. What do kids want when they plug their devices into the wall? They want energy. What do we want when we want more power in our automobile? We want energy. Well, God has given us that. And it's an effective energy. It's active. It's powerful. Now, some of you might have an answer for this question right here, which is this. What was the first effective use of generated electric power? Now, Kathy said the light bulb. How many of you would agree? Well, it wasn't. In fact, Thomas Davenport designed a motor that was strong enough to run a small printing press in 1834. Edison came along and finally created the light bulb that would last for 1,200 hours in 1880. Trolleys were in motion using effective electrical power. And what does it mean to think about having effective electrical power? It means that which does its job. And what I want to assure you this morning is this, that God has given us a word that will do its job. Now, the law of Moses served a purpose. It was a schoolmaster, but it wasn't effective for the ultimate needs of the human race. Romans 8, verse 3, we read, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh," it describes there the problem. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of His sinful flesh on account of sin. He's saying there that Jesus came, went to that cross because of sin. He taught us because of sin and because of the ineffective power of the law. In fact, the International Standard Version translates that along with some other versions this way: for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son. God sent Jesus to provide that which was effective so that we would have the proper energy that would be needed. And Paul would describe that in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. God has given us the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus. What did Jesus do? We know, don't we? Or at least I hope you do. You know what Jesus did. He died on that cross so that you and I can understand this word, energy, in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Why? Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. Jesus came to bring righteousness to the world, not to call righteousness, but to come for sinners so that they could be granted righteousness through the power of the gospel. And here's what I want you to walk away with this morning. When you think about it, we have the Word of God, which is living and powerful, but that power rests within your hands. For it's a powerful Word, living Word. And notice what He describes here in this passage: and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, I don't own a two-edged sword. My daughter thought she was going to be nice and purchase for me for a Christmas gift one year a double-edged razor. Y'all remember those guys? Sounds good. You shave on one side and then you got the other one for later. But you know what? When you come up here shaving with a double-edged razor, you're going to whack your nose. Have you ever figured that out? Don't put a double-edged razor in my hand. My nose is finally recovering, and that gift's in the drawer. The Word of God, though, is thankfully not a razor. It's as sharp as a razor because it's the sword, a two-edged sword. And it is effective. And you'll notice where a sword rests. A sword laying on the ground has no power, does it? It might look pretty, but it's not powerful. But you put that into the hand, and it becomes something extremely powerful. And of course, one of the interesting things about good old Tool Time Tim was he always wanted more power in anything that was built. And this guy actually went to the effort of making him a more powerful drill, because you know the problem with drills, you'll start out and there's no power. And you get stuck in the wood or whatever you're drilling. So this guy decided he wanted more power. And you'll notice that this is a drill that rests in his hand. And I was looking at it carefully, and the way it's geared and probably the biggest that battery pack is, that power is going to be there. Well, God has put power within our hands. How many of you have your Bibles this morning? Got power in your hands, don't you? Power in our hands. Notice the passage again. Hebrews 4:12 says what? The Word of God is living and powerful. It's more power. And what kind of power? Well, it's a power that the man of God can have within his hands that will make him complete. You can read a book that might affect your life and offer you some change. Maybe it's a book on how to deal with business. Maybe it's a book how to deal with the conflicts of life, or maybe to deal with loneliness or even grief at the death of a loved one. But folks, it's not complete. Here's the complete power tool that rests in our hands. It's the sword of the Spirit. And it is the Scripture that's able to make us complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that is extremely important, because if we're equipped, then we have what is necessary for transformation. And that's the ultimate aim of God's Word, is to transform our lives. Jesus came to the cross to transform our lives, to take us from one place to another. And that is extremely important, because that powerful Word has the ability to pierce. Notice the Scripture says, even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. Can you think of anything more powerful that reaches down and touches us like this passage describes? John, our God, knows us, doesn't He? He knows our every thought and every heart. Because of His great power. And He says to us that we have the Word of God, which is alive or living and powerful, and can pierce to the point of being a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Years ago, folks could take a hammer and some nails, Terry, and they could get with it, couldn't they? And they'd take that hammer and nails along with some kind of saw, and they'd take a pile of lumber and turn it into a house or a building. And you think about it, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Just a hammer. Well, I want to assure you this morning that the Word of God is extremely more powerful than a hammer. It's more powerful than any nail gun you might put in your hands. More powerful than any hand tool that is in existence, because it has the power to penetrate our lives and make changes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you look at verse 10, he describes some terrible things, and he says, "Of such were some of you." He can say that because their lives were transformed by the power of God. Their lives were changed by the Word of God. And that Word pierced their hearts. Remember what happened in Acts 2? What did they say when they were touched in the heart? "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" This Word touches us. That's the question, isn't it? And the Word has the answer. In fact, it's number one in power. It's number one in our nation as far as that goes in the world for transformation. If you look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, there is a beseeching there. "Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So He wants change in our lives. He says, "I beseech you." And He says to us in verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." I know, like every person in the world, you have your struggles. The world's out there pulling on us. Satan doesn't give up on us, even for a Christian, right? There's challenges. There's struggles. And if we don't allow this Word to be alive and working in our lives, there's things out there that will work on us to convince us to follow the ways of evil. Just think about Satan in the garden. He was right there working, wasn't he? For a Christian, there's something else at work. There's the power for transformation. There's the more power of the Word of God that is alive. And so he says in verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." When you pick up this book on a daily basis and you start reading it and you study this book, what's happening to you? You're being transformed by the power that God has put in our hands. Isn't it exciting to think about? Isn't it wonderful to think about? That we've got something that helps us stand against the world, stand against Satan. And something that can help us be what God wants us to be. And most importantly, that prepares us for the rest that God has laid up for us. And so I want you, as we conclude this lesson, to jump to the first verse of chapter 4 of Hebrews. He says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." I want to see all of you in heaven. And I don't really care what you look like. I still want to see you in heaven. I'm not even sure I understand what we'll look like. But I want to see you in heaven. And what can get us there is our obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our taking this word and putting it into our lives. And there is described in verse 2 a problem that happens, and we got to be aware of it. He says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them." You see, here it is, the power tool, but it didn't profit them. God's word did not help them because of a problem. Notice he says, "Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." This morning, if you do not believe that this is God's word, this tool is going to do you no good. It's like going on a trip to Africa and you take a power tool, no place to plug it in. Not going to do much good, Bob. This needs to be plugged in to our lives. Because there's folks in this world, and there may be folks right here this morning that needs more power. You need this to work effectively in your life. So I want to encourage you to consider just how powerful this word is, how alive it is, how active it is, how effective it is. But it has to be in your life because of your belief that it is God's word and that God is alive and that He exists and that He sent His Son to die on that cross so that you and I can have remission of sins. You have to understand that it is God who gave us His word that gives us the plan for our future rest. Are you prepared? Do you understand what it means to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to believe that Jesus is that Christ, the Son of God, to be willing to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, and be baptized for remission of sins so that you can walk faithfully? Because if we walk faithfully to God, we have that great promise of eternal life. And here is what gives us more power to make it happen. Do you need it in your life? If we can assist you and help you in any way, we're going to stand, we're going to sing, and we ask you to come forward. Would you please do so right now?